Let me see. Does it? It says
Recording.
Okay, good. All right. So I know we missed the first part, but yeah, just I realized that Amanda wasn't on here and she was the one who's supposed to be the note taker. We'll make her do it another time. Okay. So anyway, sorry to interrupt, Efren.
Okay. No, I guess my after me jabbering, I guess my question is, watching these numbers start to kind of drop, does any other college have, you know, the curbside pickup, and how are your guys' numbers, you know, are they starting to drop? Are they picking up?
Our numbers for those programs for the quarterly textbooks are across the board the same as they were last fall. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a really high rate of circulation for other materials. The only other thing that is down is the reserves, only because we only do 2-hour reserves. So because no one's in the library, we've done a few, like sent out individual chapters to individual students, but not the kind of use that we normally see on that.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's a good point, Efren, because I think the reality is our number is going to be way, way off. Because if you think of it, you know, a book that goes out for 2 hours goes out multiple times during the day, right? When we're there in person. And now it's going out for the semester. So, and I heard a figure of about enrollment drop of about 25% with community colleges across the country. So the enrollment is obviously going to add to that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, all statistics in this time will have a big asterisk for COVID.
Right.
It's just nothing is normal right now. And I think because it is a worldwide issue, nobody's going to fault anybody for, in fact, you know, when you look at it, how much more circulation we're having in technology than we would have before, and all the hotspots that have been added to people's collections and you name it. So it just has taken it in a different direction, and they'll probably figure out how to do statistics for OER coming up, because that a lot of faculty has gone in that direction as well. I am going to move us back to the agenda though, because there are a number of things that we do need to cover. Particularly the governance committee follow-up. And I shared in that updated, but maybe I should share my screen. So here's can you all see the agenda there?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So they had asked us, the governance committee had asked us about this survey, and I hadn't got any feedback from all of you about questions, so I almost dropped the ball on it because I had been gone, and all of a sudden I saw this email. I thought, so these are the two questions that I sent to Amy Beadle that are supposed to be included in this survey that would go out to all the colleges. Each of the work groups was asked to submit questions if they wanted to. And it's just so that, you know, we can see, and this might be something that would come up in our webinar as well, but, you know, if people want to answer it, we'd at least have an idea where we should focus our work for the coming year. So so hopefully that was okay, because it was kind of last minute. I had to just think of these. So I don't know if anybody has any comments, but you should see that survey coming out of Amy's office in the next week or so.
Thanks for doing it, Lori.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all I have to say.
And then if you watched the Wednesday webinar today, you heard Katrina talk about office hours. And this was something, again, that came up in the governance committee meeting. And I think they're calling it office hours because so many of the people on there are faculty, and that's how they think. But it also can be appointments. I had forwarded you this morning kind of an email exchange that I had been having with the other work group leaders, because I think it's more complicated for circulation to do something like this. It's not impossible, but it just seemed to me that, if you read it, you saw that, you know, I'm concerned about that one of us doesn't have expertise in all of the circulation function. It's just too big. So if you have office hours and one or two people are there and you get questions you can't answer, then that seems to defeat the purpose. Now, if you make appointments and the person has a topic, something they want help with, then that's a little easier. So that could be done. But I don't know what you all think about just the idea, your level of interest in participating.
I liked your idea, Lori, of the FAQs and housing that somewhere. I know at PCC we've started listing FAQs in like the LibGuide for our remote services. And it's kind of like a catch-all, like just trying to brainstorm as many questions that we may get from folks out there, and also making use of like LibAnswer. It doesn't necessarily have to be the SpringShare platform, but it is something that came to mind when you mentioned FAQs. And the reason why I like the FAQs is because with each FAQ, like if you clicked on the link, it could lead to like a brief explanation and then perhaps like a link to a pre-recorded like Zoom demo, like something quick and dirty that could accompany that FAQ. That may be a better approach versus office hours, because I personally, to your point, don't feel like I know everything about fulfillment, and fulfillment is so huge. So unless we were doing appointments and then deciding which platform are we holding these appointments, then having just office hours with random questions may not be worthwhile. I mean, fulfillment, I don't know if fulfillment is the largest module in Alma, but it feels like it. I'm not sure, but it feels like it. There's so many layers, and I'm coming from WMS to Alma. WMS seemed less layered than Alma. So I personally would not feel like an expert. I mean, I know plenty of things. I just don't know everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wonder also if, because it is so big and so layered, maybe the CERC group could do more kind of webinars on a topic or something, or if we, rather than someone being available for 2 hours to answer questions, I think almost everybody is agreeing, none of us feel that we have the expertise yet for that, if we ever will.
I also agree with the group on this topic, on this question.
Tatiana, we can't really hear you.
Oh, sorry.
There we go.
It's better, okay. Hi, group. I agree with everyone on this question. And also I'm thinking, you know, maybe we can provide something like focused approach. You know, there is a question that someone asks, cannot figure out something, and submit this question, and we as a group find the solution and then reply to them, you know, because I'm not comfortable with answering all the questions, because I know that I don't know all the layers in fulfillment. But if we have time and if we have this wonderful group, I think it will be helpful. I don't know, it's just one of the ways to provide support.
Mm-hmm. Like I like the idea of having submissions that Tatiana just mentioned, like, Laura, you might have mentioned that in the email thread as well about like gathering questions, maybe through like a Google form or something. And then those topics that are like generated from folks submitting questions could be the content that guides even these, the quick tips that we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks, where like I thought the lost and paid quick tip was super helpful. And I even went back and worked with my librarian colleague, and we went into configuration and made sure that everything was set up properly. And that was because someone from this group brought it to the table. So it could be a combination, like the quick tips could be guided, the quick tips and the FAQs could be guided by questions that are gathered through some type of platform that's set up for folks in the consortium to contribute to, like a Google form or anything that the group feels would be the best way to collect questions from people and then answering them in the order that they were received. And then that would give us time, like Tatiana mentioned, to actually like do our homework and then not only respond to the person, but then create a quick tip page / FAQ from that.
Yeah, they will use it, specifically help to an institution with question, and then reuse this question and answer as a tip. Yeah, I like this.
Tip / FAQ, yeah.
So how about at the beginning when we were getting ready to migrate, there was a Canvas shell for CCC libraries for Ex Libris. How about we create a module that is specifically for this work group, and then we can create the FAQ in that module, but then it will be open to for anyone who works and on circulation, and they can self-enroll in the course and look at the FAQs and ask questions and everything. And it would be one place, because I'm thinking I like the LibGuides better actually than Canvas, but I'm thinking that which LibGuide, which library is going to host it, and it will be more work for one person, while the FAQ on Canvas, the whole group could have access, this work group could have access to add and modify, and others who enroll, they can just view and post a question, for example. So I don't know, this is just an idea.
There are a lot of times when I miss that Canvas shell that we used to have. It was a good place to put questions, and you know, the Ex Libris people monitored it and generally were fairly prompt in answers or in saying, oh, I'm gonna have to think about this. But I don't, can you just make a Canvas shell on its own without, I mean, I don't know enough about Canvas to know whether we could just have one floating out there, or doesn't it have to be connected to somebody's college or something?
The one that we had, I think it was through the state. So maybe someone at that level could make it. I don't know. It's something that we may want to think about it. I do not know. I mean, I think each campus has their own, but the one that we got for Ex Libris, it came from the state.
Well, but it was all part of that whole process, and that's gone, unfortunately.
Is there a way that we could use the wiki for that?
That's what we have. They used to have Basecamp also, which Basecamp would have lent itself to this, but nobody was using the Basecamp, so they, you know, in a cost savings move, which I understand, they got rid of that. So all we have is the wiki. It's it's okay. You know, it's okay for posting documents and stuff. I don't know how easy it is to have a discussion on it like we were able to on Canvas. I'd have to check into that more, because I'm just learning the wiki now too. And I'd have to see if we can all get access to it. I don't know how, you know, the editing access, I'm not sure how that works either.
Would, Lori, would CCL, like, I don't know if there was a way for the CCL governance to be able to help us figure out how to create like a either a Canvas shell or even like a LibGuide where it's not necessarily tied to one particular library, to Parisa's point, but could be kind of like a universal library platform. I wonder if that's a question that could be posed to the CCL board. And maybe that way we could all have shared editing and one particular library wouldn't feel the pressure of like managing the content.
Yeah, I will definitely ask. I know that Lauren, one of the other work group people, had posed LibAnswer as being, you know, like the SpringShare platform, which,
right.
And I know LibGuides, but I'm not somebody who works with chat at our school and all of that. So again, I don't know whether we can do that collectively or if that only comes out of one. But I will ask, that's a good idea. I am concerned too about, you know, time, because I know we could end up with a whole bunch of questions that then it's like, you know, I know we all have our regular work to do too.
We could also start small and generate questions among our group, since I mean, we represent how many libraries here? Like, not every single one, but we may be able to just start with some of the questions and concerns we have, and then maybe throw the net wider, like, later. So maybe we could create our own content first, and then pose the question to the consortium, unless what we do is we send out, let's say, like an occasional survey or an occasional Google form, but close the form after like a week's time or something, or 3 days. Like maybe if we do decide to send it out for general questions, maybe having a limit as to how long we keep the form open.
Yeah. Like how responses come in too, if we did something like that, where if we kind of start getting, you know, 5-10 responses in a couple of days, well, then we might need to slow it down.
We could shut it off for a while, or we can let folks know when we send it out that the form will be available from this date to this date, you know, like give some type of parameter.
Yeah, and I can see where then in the office hour model you have parameters, right? You're there for an hour or something, and it's bounded, as opposed to people just coming up with the idea or the question in the moment, which is what comes up on the listserv, right? And people ask a question and then somebody answers it. Yeah, trying to think this through. I know it's something they want to feel like, in terms of the governance committee, they want there to be more interaction between the work groups and the field, as they call it. You know, it's 116 colleges. So, I mean, not quite that many on Alma. I think it's 112. So that's a lot. We represent a small fraction of that. And I think we've had good ideas, and I think we've been putting good information out there, but they want it to be more, you know, that we can address people's immediate issues or, you know, like, for example, analytics and that whole Chancellor's data survey, right? That's a huge thing right now that's on people's plates who have that responsibility, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. And so the analytics people have been great about being available and helping people one-on-one. So I don't know, but I will ask about, because I think that idea to have something similar to the Canvas shell, or if there's any way to do it through the wiki, would be good. And maybe it's that in our group that we say what we would feel comfortable addressing, you know, so that we have a list for each other. And then we can know, oh, if question A comes in, then that's that's Patty who's going to deal with that because that's her area of expertise, or Jay or whoever. You know, it may be something like that. I'm floundering too, so.
I personally don't think the office hours thing would be terrible necessarily, but I do think we would need to realign people's expectations that they would get an answer immediately. That we could use it to get in questions and kind of distribute it to the right person, but like unless it's something where you're taking like a basic thing that we kind of all know how to do, like configuration or a setting that we're familiar with, and we just need to apply that to a new system or a different person's system, it seems like it would be really difficult to like, I mean, none of us know this much. Like someone that works at Ex Libris probably doesn't even know enough to just sit in an office hour and like answer questions as they come up. So I really do think that would like framing it correctly would be like the key to success for the office hours.
Now, are they proposing office hours because Ex Libris is unable to provide that type of support? Because it almost feels like we're, not that I'm opposed to connecting, because I think sometimes I learn best from my colleagues versus Ex Libris, but it almost feels like we're doing what Ex Libris ought to be doing.
But it takes
a long time. Maybe that's just me.
It takes a long time for tickets to be addressed in Ex Libris, and I think that might be why the governance committee is saying we have to be somewhat self-sufficient.
That's part of it. The long lag time on those Salesforce cases. The other part was some things are not at the level that you need to raise it to a Salesforce case. It's not a problem necessarily. It's just like, oh my gosh, like I was trying to figure out how to export some things this week. That because if you certain kind of exports, you don't get all the data fields and other ones you do. And I was trying to sort that out and you go to the knowledge base and it's so confusing. And I mean, I finally figured it out. And then I thought, you know, I should probably do some kind of FAQ or something about this because there's probably somebody else who needs to sort something by due date. And the due date's not a field you can search on. You know, things like that you wouldn't put a Salesforce case in for. It's more that we're all in this together and we're trying to help each other. I think that's where, and there was discussion about not wanting to take Ex Libris off the hook for what they're responsible for. So any other thoughts on this?
I think Jay makes a good point about like making sure that expectations are not set too high. Like we aren't Ex Libris experts. So like if we're going to do the office hours approach, appointment, so that we at least know what the question is beforehand. That may be a possible model. I think I'm more of a proponent of at least starting, or we could try both at the same time, but like seeing if we could have some type of shared platform, like a LibAnswer. LibAnswer, I'm still learning it, and we just started using it at PCC, but it just seems very user-friendly. So even though office hours creates more connection, you know, like virtually with like another colleague out there at another community college library. If you're someone who just wants like to find the answer somewhere and not necessarily have to visit someone by appointment, we'd be storing that knowledge somewhere as we're building it. And then eventually it may just be a place where we've collected so much useful information that, that folks know that they could go there to find the answer.
Yeah, so, I think that's like a really powerful thing that is one of the points of like the failures of like the kind of Ex Libris documentation. Like it's so hard to find documentation for certain things, and just having a resource available that people would go to find like real answers to problems that we run into sounds like a really good idea.
Example because we have live answers too. So let's say that at my college, I created live answers. Since you're not at my college, can I still give access to you? Because if that's the case, maybe we could use live answers and give everyone in this group access to that specific live answer so everyone can contribute. Can we do it, or do we have to be in the same college?
So I think there are two different settings. I think there's a public facing setting, and then there's like an internal. And what we're using so far is just the internal, because we used to have a wiki with like staff related information that's now been transferred to LibAnswer. So when I go into LibAnswer, it's for the in-house stuff. But I think LibAnswer is essentially designed for patron use if they're looking for questions to things about the library. So I think that is a capability.
Yeah, we use it for our chat, you know, for student questions. And then we even have it extended, and maybe this would work in some way for the group, that say a question comes in that's really a fulfillment question that a librarian might not know the answer to, then they create a ticket, and that ticket goes to the team who has the, you know, expertise in whatever that the subject is. But I think someone has to host it, right? I mean.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, Anne, I think, so there are two pieces. There's LibAnswer and then there's LibChat.
Right.
I think the ticket part, LibChat, it would have to be, someone would have to be logged in. So like the librarians, we actually use LibChat now. We used to use Question Point to get those live 24/7 chat questions. And the ticketing and stuff, are you referring to like the office hours, like those appointments?
It's an internal thing that we use. So for instance, as an example, a student writes in, I need a laptop. Well, the librarians aren't in charge of that distribution, so they create a ticket and it goes to the access service team. And the access service team responds to the student. So the ticket goes into a G user email account, and then anybody in the access team can, if they're on, you know, we have a schedule for ours. So we have people who are scheduled from 9 to, you know, 1 or whatever. So that person would address that question. And the answer is the response to the chat. I've seen it, but maybe I'm wrong.
So the LibAnswers, because we do have FAQ LibAnswers on our page for the students, the LibAnswers is a list of questions with answers, right? So let's say as a student, I go in and I say, what is the overdue fee for textbooks? And that question is not posted. As a user, I can say, create a question. The question will be created, but someone has to go back in and add the answer and publish it. Then it will be added to the FAQ. So that's different from the chat ticket for the chat. So there are two different things. There are two different ones. Yes.
Yeah, because chat is more like real time, mm-hmm. whereas LibAnswer will help us compile that content for storage for long term.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I'm thinking about too that, you know, even if we do that, if we're constantly on point for answering questions or getting back to people or whatever, that's where, you know, Kathy's point, if we have office hours, then we can, and we can answer it. Or maybe we say, if you have, maybe we do a hybrid thing and we say, if you just have a question, then put it in our Google form or something and we'll come up with some FAQs around it, you know, within a certain time frame. Or if you have something that you need more one-on-one work with, then come to our office hours, but you have to let us know the topic ahead of time so that we're sure that we've got somebody there who can help you. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's sort of a hybrid model. I don't know.
Yeah. So they would be making, would they be making an appointment ahead of time versus like just arriving at the office hours?
I think we would say, okay, this is the time we're available, rather than it being random all the time. That it, okay, we're available. I know one of the groups said they're using this meeting time because it's already a time they knew would be, people are generally available. And so let's say we would, on the weeks we didn't have a meeting of us, that we would have our office hours. So like next week from 1 to 2, let's say, would be the office hour. And we'd have, I don't know, 3 of us or 2 of us or whatever who would commit to covering that. And then we'd say, you can just show up and ask a question, or if there's something you've got going on. But if you give us a heads up ahead of time, we can be more prepared, but you don't, you know, otherwise. But then it's that time. It's not that we're trying to respond to it throughout a week where you might be busy and it gets lost in email or whatever it is. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Well, I think the appointment aspect, and I thought that that's where you were going, Lori, that the hybrid idea that, okay, we dedicate an hour to whatever it is, but the appointment would allow us to, well, give us a place for the person to ask the question, perhaps, and then we would have time to prepare an answer before the office hour, I don't, you know.
Yeah, that's true. We could just say our appointments will be within this particular hour. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I shouldn't have thought of this because all of a sudden I thought, you know, I don't know whether it makes, like those webinars, whether it helps if you're just lurking in an office hour, you know, that you hear what somebody else's question is going to be and it's helpful to you. I don't know. But
yeah. So, unless Lori, we come prepared with that, unless we as facilitators of the office hours come prepared with a topic, either asked by someone beforehand or generated by the group, so that there's at least content shared. And then during the office hour, if participants ask questions that we can't answer right off the bat, then that could be something that we could add for the following office hour content. So maybe always coming prepared with something so that if there are folks who do come in just to sit in, they may actually walk away with like new knowledge. So maybe there should be kind of like a structure to the office hours where we go in with content, whether it's given to us by the participant or we've decided what content would we like to go on prepared with for next meeting. If that's the approach.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds good. It also sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Okay.
I mean, it's almost, that's the webinar model in a way, right? But, and I like the idea, but it's felt like going to be a lot of work one way or the other.
Well, how often are they weekly?
I think I'm not sure. I think every group is doing this however they come up with. And I couldn't tell a frequency from that email exchange necessarily. I think some people were thinking of like an hour weekly. The other thing I should mention is this is a pilot, you know, it's to try it out. So it's not like we do something and we're committed to doing it for the next year, thankfully. It's just like Katrina mentioned for analytics, you know, they're starting it and they're going to do it through November. So my guess is it's weekly, and then evaluate. you know, you wouldn't have it probably during the break between semesters, you know, that kind of thing. So let me find out from Amy and Michelle what kind of platforms and keep in contact with the other work group leaders. And then I will circle back with you all as far as ideas. Try to smush down our discussion into something concrete. And then I would just ask, you know, for you to get back to me to say, okay, yeah, I'm willing to do this or to help with that. And it wouldn't be everybody every week if we do something weekly. That's for sure. And it doesn't have to be all completely thought out at the beginning since this is a pilot. So I think the point about keeping expectations in check is important. I think I will, though, put something out among us to say, okay, what kinds of questions are you comfortable helping with or answering? Because no point, you know, like I said, letters and notices, forget it. I'm not that person. Course reserve, sure. but I think we probably all have things that we've done more work with in terms of fulfillment. And so that would be good for all of us to know. So I'll send something out with a list of all our names, and then we can put it next to us, what we're willing to help with. So that would be one way to start.
And we put a caveat next to it. It's like, I think I know this really well.
For real.
Well, enough that you won't feel embarrassed.
Let's get okay. willing to help you along.
Yeah, nobody's going to be on their own, but just so that you. And we can always say, I mean, think of how many times EXL has said in a webinar, well, we'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? We're learning from them.
We're not the experts. They certainly aren't the experts on their own products. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. All right. We've got to move to the other big thing is our November 18th webinar. And Anne, you had suggested kind of focusing it on that document about remote services, which I think is a good idea. I think we also might want to consider just a little introductory stuff about who we are and what we have on the wiki, because I think a lot of people don't know, even though it's been out there in other. Last year, I know Sarah did something on this but I'm not sure if it was just the governance committee or if it was a wider thing. So this is a wider audience. And I think that would be good to show that we do have all those quick tips out there, that we do have other resources available to people. If people, and I discovered too this week that people can sign up to be notified if something new goes on there. So it's not like you have to remember to check back, but you could get a little ping that says, oh, there's something new here. You might, you know, that might be helpful to people. Because I know I never remember to check back on these sites that you hear about, oh, it's a good site, all these resources, and then I forget. So, but other thoughts about what we could do during that webinar, especially after seeing what Katrina and them did today? Or Anne, do you want to talk more about what you had in mind with the looking at the remote services document?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, you know, we've put some information together already, so some of the work is done, and it's, you know, November 18th is going to be here before we know it. and I like the idea of you, excuse me, also of maybe we kind of remind people that there's the wiki to, you know, go to for information, but I just thought we could kind of fine tune all the remote services. I think you know, I think we've all learned from each other. We based, and I think I've said this before, Lori, we based a lot of our curbside stuff on the document that you shared last year, the Rails document. So it's super helpful. So I just think it's useful information because, you know, I think where most of us are will be remote for the spring, at least.
Oh yeah, we are.
Right. So, so part of it was some of the work is already done and we could kind of just use that. And then the other thing is that I just think it's really useful information.
Other thoughts? I'm not sure that would take up the whole hour. And so, I mean, perhaps one thing we could, in a way, almost demo would be this lost items issue. To take Jay's start at that and to show, you know, where you find that parameter and how you check that. And then there were a couple other parameters you have to be sure in terms of that it's going to waive things. And then maybe how you find the things then that are hanging out there that you need to retroactively fix. So in the process of doing kind of putting that quick together, then we could just like kind of demonstrate it. That might be another piece that's a concrete something to share.
Mm-hmm. I just learned about something today with one of our librarians. There's a thing called the health dashboard. Mm-hmm. So, and I just haven't explored it before. And I was looking at it today. I mean, that might be useful to demo if we figured out how it all, you know, works, which I don't claim to know yet, but it gives real useful data about what was successful running, what wasn't.
One of last week's webinars was on that. I think there was a discussion on that in the webinar. I can't remember what day. Okay. Uh-huh. So there might be the recording would be out there. Mm-hmm. So that, because I know that I thought about going back to the recording because I saw it and I thought it was useful, but I kind of was hoping to do it side by side with my, like, look at what I had. I think that would be helpful.
So. Yeah, it's actually on our wiki page.
Okay.
it was the part two of EXL's Fulfillment Knowledge Acceleration Program webinar. So it's on the wiki page, and my understanding was you had to have the general administrator role to be able to use it, but maybe not, or maybe you can view it without being somebody who can actually make the changes. But yeah, it looked really slick that you could find out where you had TOUs that weren't working correctly and things like that. Yep, and Jay just posted in the chat.
It does say you need the general administrator role, which means like 16 people could probably do it.
Yeah, I know I don't have that role, but I passed the info on to the person who does. Because she didn't know about it either.
What does it do exactly? Just it's like, oh, okay, never mind. I know what this is. Okay.
Do any of you guys use the data dashboard?
Not really.
No? Okay. Alrighty. Because as far as fulfillment, like there's data dashboard. When you go to analytics and there's data dashboard and there's two things there's a lot of things that I think are helpful for fulfillment and for statistics wise. But when you go to analytics, and I don't know, I think it depends also on the role you have, like there's a data review dashboard. And there's a section that'll do like count of physical items by location. So that's been something that's been talked about right now with the survey for the chancellors, because you can get that information from there. But there's also like a count of users by group. And so it'll give me, for example, like so many classified staff under, you know, there's so many classified staff, number of users by that, and then by faculty and by students. But for a while, when we were cleaning up and deleting, those numbers would go down, but right now they haven't changed. And I know some deletions have been happening. And at first I thought, okay, it takes 24 hours for this to happen. But I'm at the point that it's not doing anything after 24 hours. So I just wondered if any of you guys use that by, it's a quick, I like that dashboard. If you guys ever have a chance to look at it, I think it would be very useful for people to do like fulfillment. So
that's in analytics though?
Mm-hmm. Like if you go and, you know, you're in Alma and then you go to analytics and then you'll have your drop-down menu and it's under reports, it's data review dashboard. And can I share? Do I have access to share screen?
Let me see here.
And I'll just show you what I'm talking about.
I think so.
Okay, let me see. Okay. So for example, I am here in, can you guys all see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so here, you know, analytics. Like I said, I don't know if this depends on what roles you have, but if you go to data review dashboard, you get a screen like this. And then also, sometimes when I go to that data review dashboard, this is where Alma, I realized Alma has its moments. It's just, you know, it's temperamental or something. Sometimes it asks me for a login, and all I do is click out of that and then go back to my other screen, and then I go back, and it lets me in. So it's just, ugh. But you have, like, these tabs, count of physical items by location. And so for people that are doing some of, you know, their surveys and stuff, this is helpful.
Yeah.
And then you also have like count of users by group. And this is the part that I've been talking about. Like we did not migrate over 304,000 items. So we've been having to clean this up, but at some point, you know, this number was a little bit higher and even here. And then I realized that after it took like 24 hours to change, but right now it hasn't been changing for a while. And I know that we've been deleting stuff. But again, this is, to me, it's helpful. And I haven't delved into the other ones, but, you know, it gives you a count of POs, like PLLs by status. So there's some stuff here that I've thought is kind of useful. And you can also go to, like, open this up, and it'll give you a report of, let me see if I can get it. So I wish it could transfer into an Excel sheet from here, because there's other places where you can send something to Excel, but not this one. It'll just list the information, but not something that, like, at least I haven't figured out a way to, like, play around with it other than just looking at it. Let me see if it, you guys are still seeing my screen?
Yeah. It's just saying okay. Searching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Searching. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll do it before, well, we're already over time. Sorry.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that you're getting asked to sign back in, Patty, is that you're actually in the Oracle realm now when you're mm-hmm. in the end. So that might be why sometimes it gives you that weird login.
Okay. And see, so I get my listing of like the entry, you know, the number of people that I have, but I wish I could manipulate it and send it to you like an Excel file so I could try to do work with some cleanup, but I don't see. Like in some other reports, you see that little thing that'll tell you send it to Excel. Yeah. I can't find it on here. But, I mean, I'll try to work with it. But I just wondered if anybody else worked with dashboard and could help.
The data review dashboard, the initial front page you were on, if you go all the way to the right, there's a three drop-down or three dots with lines, and you can export to Excel from there.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
So if you go back to your main dashboard,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Your data dashboard, wherever it is, and then.
Okay, let me. I haven't figured out how to go exactly do that, so let me go back. So here.
Uh huh. And then over on the right hand side by the question mark, under where mm-hmm. you're signed in, if you click on that.
Oh, so when I had that other report right now, maybe here? Oh, okay, I'll try that.
Click that and it will do the summaries out to Excel and you can do either the current page or the entire dashboard.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
See, we all learn from each other. Yep, there it is.
Okay.
To Excel.
Thank you. Yay. Something to report tomorrow. I work with one of my staff members on stuff like this, and we're like, what do we do? What are like? So thank you.
Okay. Do you want to stop sharing?
Yes, sorry.
That's okay.
I got excited.
No. Yeah, everybody appreciated that. So
some of you also mentioned current checkout counts, like for the semester. Is that something that we don't have to go over it right now, but I was wondering if that could be like a quick tip that could be reviewed?
Yeah, I think so. I do that all the time because our faculty and our library director want to see how the laptop and hotspot checkouts are going. Okay. So every week I actually run that data. Because we have, I think we're getting up to about 1,300 hotspots and about 1,000 laptops. So we can't keep it any other way than running analytics. But is that something?
I'm not as familiar with analytics either. So what Patty just went over and what mm-hmm. Kathy just mentioned about running current checkouts, I would be helpful for me at least.
There also is an advanced search on the main page. It's what I'm used to in Access as a query, because you set your criteria. And we could demo that for people, because you really can get a lot of information without even going to analytics to reports. So maybe at the next meeting we could share some of those things like Patty did today.
That would be great, actually. Yeah. We could all have like a one little snippet of like a share and show and tell kind of thing or something.
Well, it'd be great to get any information with not going into analytics, because I know
I learned that too late, like a few weeks back, that you can get some of that stuff without analytics. So,
yeah, but analytics is powerful.
It's very powerful, but I've even found that it doesn't give me everything I've asked for. You know, I've set it up, and we wanted to find out how many things we had on the hold shelf while we were doing curbside. You know, I ran the report, I checked everything, and I could see just by looking at the shelf, there were more books on the shelf than that report gave me. And I, you know, so I'm just saying, you really, it's pretty complicated to, the query, it's come back 100% every time I've used it.
And the other thing, not everyone has like full permissions in analytics, so doing it in the Alma page would be great if we could figure out some of that stuff. So,
good shortcuts. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know a bunch of people have jumped off, understandably, because we are over our.
This is a good meeting. I love this meeting. I actually feel it's so productive.
No, it goes by so fast, and then it feels like there's so much to do. So, I think what I will do at this point is I will take that agenda that we had and put some notes into it, that not minutes, but just some notes that I send back out for you guys to fill in some things, like, you know, what we're willing to do as far as these office hours, what people are willing to help with is in terms of the webinar. It doesn't have to be me doing all the talking at that's for sure. And then what other things we might focus on in the short term I like this idea about, and your idea about the advanced search and kind of, you know, walking people through that, how you can make these complex searches. It kind of relates to what I ended up having to do with the due date to get to my due date sorting. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we have the lost item ones for sure, because that seems to be a common issue, and that these parameters people didn't know about. It seems simple once you figure it out, but until you figure it out, it's like you pull your hair out, right? Let's look at that, and yeah, if people can, I'll try to put a deadline on, maybe people can get back to me by a certain amount of time with those pieces. Does that sound good?
Yeah, That sounds good. And deadlines are good for me, Laurie. If I have a deadline, I'm much more inclined to try to live up to it. So,
and how are we collecting suggestions for quick tips at this point? Because I just suggested two, and I'm not too sure how we're going to move forward with that. Because some folks have certain knowledge and others are still learning, such as myself. So how are we keeping track of what content we should jump to next, such as searches for how many currently checked out items or the and also the content that Patty just went over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I just feel like at this point, we need to have a more organized way of determining like what content we're aiming at moving on to in terms of like topics and building, because there are a lot of great ideas, but so far, like the first two, like Lost in Paid was super helpful. OER, I don't work with OER. We don't put OER materials in our catalog as far as I know. But I'd be curious to know, like, for example, like those first two quick tip topics, like how did those come about? Which is fine. It's fine if they came from, let's say, Lori, for example, or one other person. But it seems like in having these really helpful meetings, we start coming up with more topics that some of us may not know as much about that others could help with. So all I'm saying is it would be nice to have kind of like a running list or like some place, some organized place where we know, like we talked about getting to those topics and maybe like expanding on them.
Yeah. And I had created a kind of a spreadsheet task list that was getting at that. That's in our Google Drive.
Okay.
That I don't know that anybody's looked at, but I can, I will update it based on this meeting and attach that and send that back around so that people can look at that, add to it, just subtract from it. I mean, one of the things I had on there, and we touched on it briefly, not to hold people up, but that, you know, Anne and Lena, you had talked about your LibGuides that you have for your remote services. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a great idea. I just had to create one myself. If we shared those on our wiki page as, you know, things that other colleges don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? They can just zip, take it right off. You know, mm-hmm. that's on there. I think that would be something easy to do, a win-win for everybody. So I'm sure other people have ideas. It's just,
Absolutely. I think I shared that the link to the LibGuide of the remote services in the shared spreadsheet for the remote services that we all responded to. But
okay, good.
I'd be happy to share it. My colleague Ken, he's the one who built it, but we constantly work together to update the information. But for sure, I can help with that.
Yeah, because that's what I did when I built ours, is I started looking at other people, so I didn't want to, you know.
Reinvent the wheel, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, cool. All right, anything else for today?
I was just saying, I think having a task list, if we have topics as well, we can sign ourselves up for it. So if there's something like what Patty was talking about, she knows how to do that, she could write up the quick tip and we can all get feedback, so we could have a lead on each task, and so it kind of spreads out the work a little bit more, then we know who's doing what, and then once we get that list of who's comfortable answering questions, it might be easier to divide out and assign those quick tips and those guides that I know have been helpful for me too. I've been doing a lot of that now that we're have a lull. I've been writing a lot of how-to procedures for all of our staff. And just because we haven't had it in place, we had it for OCLC, but not for ALMA. So we're starting up that again.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's piggyback on that. I do know one thing that came up when Jay and I were going over the lost lost and loan thing, is that some of us, and I noticed, Patty, you guys are still on the old layout, the ALMA layout, and I know our district has moved to the new one. And so I don't know how much, because the screen is different, and things are in different places. So when we put together screenshots, we might think about that, whether we should do it in the new one or the
So old. Was that that was an update that you guys had, like that everybody had? Because I'll be honest, we haven't done any updates. I know I would see these, you know, things, listservs on the ALMA. It's like, oh, the new update. And I'm like, we haven't done any of that. I don't even know how we would go about that.
Yeah, the interface, the new interface, I think, is mandatory effective January, right, Lori? But I think sites have the option to opt out of it for the time being. So we haven't opted in yet. But I have heard that the layout is going to change for everyone effective January.
Okay,
so we might be obligated to do any demos or what have you with the new interface, because I don't think we're going to have the option come January 2021.
And so is that something that we're still, I mean, forgive my ignorance, when January comes, is it automatically somebody up at the power that be will change everything, or we have to do like click something or schedule an update?
No, I think it automatically, I think it automatically is going to change for everyone, but they gave us a heads up because our cataloging librarian told us about it, and we haven't yet set it to the new one yet. We're still working in the old interface, but she did say that come January, everyone will be moved to the new interface. It may be best just to start practicing in it now, because we won't have a choice later.
I actually like it a lot. I think it's more intuitive, and it was just something, just a switch that our systems administrator had to switch it on, you know.
Do you think is it easier than the original one, or was it quick to learn?
It's quick to learn. It takes a little bit of getting used to, because the navigation is on the side instead of on the top. So, but you have more things come up. It is especially nicer in the course reserves module for sure. But even in the advanced searching and that kind of thing, I don't know. I'm really used to it now. I think we switched in early September. So, but there's two things that are switching. There's this interface, and there's the metadata editor. They have a new metadata editor too. And so I'm not sure what the date is that you have to use one or the other, but I'll see if I can find that out.
And when you said that the switch was easy, that it was just your systems administrator doing something, do you know if there's documentation somewhere?
Yeah, there is. I can send that to you. And there's
place.
And actually, EXL put together a nice little video that actually was helpful, and to the point about how this new interface works. And so I recommend, I'll send you that link.
Okay.
And I recommend using it, because it that was really helpful. And I was like, oh, I can do this and I can do that. And it's nice because you can take things off the menu that you never use, and you can put them like in this little side place, so they're not mucking, like acquisitions. I don't need the acquisitions menu, so I could put it off to the side where I don't have to look at it and have it confuse me. So
okay.
Can you send me that video as well?
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Could you send me that video?
Well, I'll send it to everybody. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for your patience, for your input. Look for, they probably won't be today. I have an undocumented student week thing I have to do now next, but before the end of the week, I'll get all this stuff out.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You too.
Hi, nice meeting you. Bye.
Okay.